2. The gunslinger slept soundly and dreamlessly that night for the first time in months, and he slept with the not-quite-finished key clenched tightly in his hand. 3. In another world, but beneath the shadow of the same quartet, Jake Chambers was having the most vivid dream of his life. He was walking through the tangled remains of an ancient forest, a dead zone of fallen trees and scruffy, aggravating bushes that bit his ankles and tried to steal his sneakers. He came to a thin belt of younger trees, alders, he thought, or perhaps beeches. He was a city boy, and the only thing he knew for sure about trees was that some had leaves and some had needles, and discovered a path through them. He made his way along this, moving a little faster. There was a clearing of some sort up ahead. He stopped once before reaching it, when he spied some sort of stone marker to his right. He left the path to look at it. There were letters carved into it, but they were so eroded he couldn't make them out. At last he closed his eyes, he had never done this in a dream before, and let his fingers trace each letter, like a blind boy reading Braille. Each formed in the darkness behind his lids, until they made a sentence which stood forth in an outline of blue light. Traveler, beyond lies Midworld. Sleeping in his bed, Jake drew his knees up against his chest. The hand holding the key was under his pillow, and now his fingers tightened their grip on it. Midworld, he thought, of course. St. Louis and Topeka and Oz and the World's Fair and Charlie the Choo-Choo. He opened his dreaming eyes and pressed on. The clearing behind the trees was paved with old, cracked asphalt. A faded yellow circle had been painted in the middle. Jake realized it was a playground basketball court even before he saw the boy at the far end, standing at the foul line and shooting baskets with a dusty old Wilson ball. They popped in one after another, falling neatly through the netless hole. The basket jutted out from something that looked like a subway kiosk which had been shut up for the night. Its closed door was painted in alternating diagonal stripes of yellow and black. From behind it, or perhaps from below it, Jake could hear the steady rumble of powerful machinery. The sound was somehow disturbing. Scary. "Don't step on the robots," the boy shooting the basket said without turning around. "I guess they're all dead, but I wouldn't take any chances if I were you." Jake looked around and saw a number of shattered mechanical devices lying around. One looked like a rat or mouse, another like a bat. A mechanical snake lay in two rusty pieces almost at his feet. "Are you me?" Jake asked, taking a step closer to the boy at the basket. But even before he turned around, Jake knew that wasn't the case. The boy was bigger than Jake and at least 13. His hair was darker, and when he looked at Jake, he saw that the stranger's eyes were hazel, his own were blue. "What do you think?" the strange boy asked and bounced past the ball to Jake. "No, of course not," Jake said. He spoke apologetically. "It's just that I've been cut in two for the last 3 weeks or so." He dipped and shot from mid-court. The ball arched high and dropped silently through the hoop. He was delighted, but he discovered he was also afraid of what this strange boy might have to tell him. "I know," the boy said. "It's been a bitch for you, hasn't it?" He was wearing faded Madras shorts and a yellow T-shirt that said "Never a dull moment in Midworld." He had tied a green bandana around his forehead to keep his hair out of his eyes. "And things are going to get worse before they get better." "What is this place?" Jake asked. "And who are you?" "It's the Portal of the Bear, but it's also Brooklyn." That didn't seem to make sense, and yet somehow it did. Jake told himself that things always seem that way in dreams, but this didn't really feel like a dream. "As for me, I don't matter much," the boy said. He hooked the basketball over his shoulder. It rose, then dropped smoothly through the hoop. "I'm supposed to guide you, that's all. I'll take you where you need to go, and I'll show you what you need to see, but you have to be careful because I won't know you. And strangers make Henry nervous. He can get mean when he's nervous, and he's bigger than you." "Who's Henry?" Jake asked. "Never mind. Just don't let him notice you," All you have to do is hang out and follow us. Then, when we leave... The boy looked at Jake. There was both pity and fear in his eyes. Jake suddenly realized that the boy was starting to fade. He could see the yellow and black slashes on the box right through the boy's yellow t-shirt. How will I find you? Jake was suddenly terrified that the boy would melt away completely before he could say everything Jake needed to hear. No problem, the boy said. His voice had taken on a queer, chiming echo. Just take the subway to Co-op City. You'll find me. No, I won't, Jake cried. Co-op City's huge. There must be 100,000 people living there. Now the boy was just a milky outline. Only his hazel eyes were still completely there, like the Cheshire Cat's grin in Alice. They regarded Jake with compassion and anxiety. No problemo, he said. You found the key and the rose, didn't you? You'll find me the same way. This afternoon, Jake, around 3 o'clock should be good. You'll have to be careful, and you'll have to be quick. He paused, a ghostly boy with an old basketball lying near one transparent foot. I have to go now, but it was good to meet you. You seem like a nice kid, and I'm not surprised he loves you. Remember, there's danger, though. Be careful, and be quick. Wait! Jake yelled and ran across the basketball court toward the disappearing boy. One of his feet struck a shattered robot that looked like a child's toy tractor. He stumbled and fell to his knees, shredding his pants. He ignored the thin burn of pain. Wait! You have to tell me what this is all about! You have to tell me why these things are happening to me! Because of the beam, the boy who was now only a pair of floating eyes replied, and because of the tower. In the end, all things, even the beam, serve the Dark Tower. Did you think you would be any different? Jake flailed and stumbled to his feet. Will I find him? Will I find the gunslinger? I don't know, the boy answered. His voice now seemed to come from a million miles away. I only know you must try. About that, you have no choice. The boy was gone. The basketball court and the woods was empty. The only sound was that faint rumble of machinery, and Jake didn't like it. There was something wrong with that sound, and he thought that what was wrong with the machinery was affecting the rose, or vice versa. It was all hooked together somehow. He picked up the old scuffed-up basketball and shot. It went neatly through the hoop and disappeared. A river. The strange boy's voice sighed. It was like a puff of breeze. It came from nowhere and everywhere. The answer is a river.